Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can't tame the commandments. Whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus warned. They are not easy to keep. They do not require a slight adjustment in your attitude or some minor modification to your behavior. Putting them outside of courthouses or in schoolrooms will not change the behavior of the citizens who pass by them, will not make the courtrooms less busy, will not make the students who learn under their shadow less rebellious. Through the law comes knowledge of sin, but not the power to fix sin, to correct behavior. Where the law comes, the trespass increases. The commandments are impossible to keep. You should know them by heart and recite them daily, not to make you a better person, not as your morning checklist, a to-do list for you that day, but so that you can precisely identify and diagnose your dilemma, so that you can know what kind of person you are, so that you can confess your sins. That's not how the Pharisees understood the commandments. They wanted a manageable religion. They wanted laws like checklists that they could tick off and observe their righteous accomplishments. And who is unlike them? They wanted easy commandments and a God who would grade on a curve, who would reward their best efforts, who would give them credit when they tried hard, no matter the result. So have you tried to tame the commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. The summary of the first three commandments gets reduced to like God enough to call yourself a Christian when it's convenient. Love your neighbor as yourself. The summary of commandments 4 through 10 gets shortened to love yourself. It's easy to console yourself with a tamed list of the commandments. Try your best. Be nice. Don't let anyone know about your secret sins. Sure, I don't like to, but at least I go to church sometimes. Sure, I don't bring my children to church and let them cohabit, but at least they don't use drugs or aren't pregnant. Sure, she's not my first wife, but at least I'm nice to her most of the time. Sure, we'd go into debt for a nicer car, but at least we throw some loose change into the plate when we've got it to spare. This faux righteousness might impress you in your own eyes, but it is not even enough to impress the scribes and the Pharisees, whose righteousness, Jesus said, yours needs to exceed. Jesus will not permit this kind of treatment of his commandments. He exposes the commandments for as furious and as full as they truly are. There's no taming of the commandments. Anytime Jesus' preaching and catechesis begins with, you have heard that it was said, but I say to you, as it does here in the Sermon on the Mount several times over, watch out. Jesus doesn't add anything to the commandments. The law is already perfect and complete. He merely peels back the safe veneer the Pharisees had applied to the commandments that allowed them to think that they really were adept at keeping the commandments. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets Jesus preached. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass away from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter, never enter the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus catechizes on a few of the commandments, one at a time, beginning with the fifth. You have heard that it was said, you shall not murder. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. Suddenly, your hands, which have never shed a drop of any neighbor's blood, are stained blood red. Your heart is murderous with angry and hateful thoughts. Your lips have shed innocent blood time and again with words that sting. You have not helped and supported your neighbor in every physical need. You have hurt and harmed him in your thoughts and with your neglect. According to Jesus, you can be guilty of murder merely by being unrighteously angry, or by uttering or even thinking a mild insult, or simply thinking yourself better than others. So, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, go home. Leave your gift there at the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. If you refuse to be reconciled to anyone, there is no room for you, according to Jesus, at the Lord's altar. To refuse to be reconciled to your neighbor is to refuse to be reconciled to God the Father. To refuse to forgive is to refuse forgiveness for yourself. To harbor anger against someone until he makes amends is to ask God to harbor his anger against you until you can make amends for your sin. You cannot earn forgiveness, but you can certainly reject it. Jesus doesn't come to abolish the law and the prophets. The law still stands. Its accusation rings in your ears. Your conscience knows what is required and what is righteous. So how do you deal with the accusation of the law? You can argue or rationalize. You can think of people whose sins seem worse than yours and so feel better about yourself. You can try to bargain with God, giving up some sin if he'll let you keep others. Another pet sin. You can make excuses. You can try to justify what you have done or still do. You can try to boil the commandments down to more manageable instructions. You can make up false concepts and ideas about God, supposing that he is not offended by your sinful rebellion against him. Or you can acknowledge that the accuser is right and confess your sins. That's the goal of the law. To get you to quit trusting in your own righteousness, in your own goodness, to realize your abject failure, to despise your sins, and to get you to confess your sinfulness. There is one, just one, whose righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, who met the standard of perfection who was perfect as God the Father is perfect, Jesus did everything the law commands and nothing the law forbids, in thought, in word, in action. He loves God, his Father, perfectly, trusts him completely, submits to him without hesitation. He uses God's name rightly and regularly, calling upon it faithfully, praying, praising, and giving thanks. He keeps the Sabbath perfectly, living in and loving the Word of God. He honors his parents, even his earthly parents, faithfully. He is never angry without cause, never speaks or even thinks an insult. His eyes never look lustfully at a woman. His thoughts are never even slightly or momentarily impure. And he loves his bride, the church, completely and perfectly, giving himself for her completely. He never steals or cheats. He never gets anything dishonestly. He always gives when anyone is in need. He never gives false testimony. Never hurts anyone's reputation, even if it's speaking the truth. He never covets. He is never dissatisfied with the daily bread from God the Father. He never desires more than he has been given. He is never discontent. He was tempted, just as you are, in every way, and yet was completely without sin. He is perfectly faithful. And he has perfect faith. And yet, the law condemned him. He is, after all, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God made him who knew no sin, who kept every commandment, every letter of the law perfectly and consistently and constantly, to be sin in your place, sin for you. So Jesus allowed the law to do to him what it should have done, what it should still be doing to you: accuse you, condemn you, sentence you to death and hell. The only one whose righteousness exceeded the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees enough, the only one who was perfect as God the Father was perfect, the divine Son of God, the eternal second person of the Holy Trinity, was condemned and killed as a sinner in your place. And Jesus wasn't lying or speaking in hyperbole, exaggeration, when he said that your righteousness must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, the well-known do-gooders of the day, in order for you to enter the kingdom of heaven. He wasn't speaking figuratively when he said, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." No, beloved, perfection is required. Perfect obedience to every letter of the law, every moment of your life, is exactly what's required. And so, in baptism, that's what you've been given. Jesus gave you his perfect righteousness, his perfect obedience, his complete law-fulfilling righteousness. And all of your sin, all of it, he claims as his own. And all of his righteousness he declares to be yours. Your righteousness far exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, blows their fake righteousness out of the water. Your perfection is that of God the Father. You are forgiven and free, holy and righteous completely. So for the Christian, then, the law takes a different twist. Instead of merely crushing you with its accusation, though it always does that, it also describes you. As the commandments describe Jesus and his perfect righteousness, so they describe you who are in Christ as well. You who in baptism have been covered with his righteousness and who have had your sins removed, washed away eternally. It describes you who, having confessed your sins in confession, hear an absolution that leaves no sin clinging to you anymore. The commandments describe those you who, at the Holy Communion, eat and drink the flesh and the blood of the sinless Lamb of God, who became sin for you, who gave and shed his body and blood to forgive, remove, expunge eternally your sins from his heavenly ledger. Perfect obedience to the Ten Commandments is not just credited to you. It is yours. It is you. In Christ, you are good and righteous and holy, no longer enslaved to sin. Though in your eyes you see only sin and a sinner, in Christ, in the eyes of your heavenly Father, you are purely righteous, already possessing and already displaying and doing the perfect righteousness required of you. Sanctification, or living the Christian life, is simply learning to get used to how God sees you, learning to believe what he declares you to be. Here, in his church, daily and richly is the forgiveness and the perfect righteousness that God requires of you, that he imparts to you, that he makes you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.